would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling kids. Every single Scooby-Doo ended that way, didn't it? Yeah, you watch Scooby-Doo. Yeah, it would have happened too if it wasn't for those meddling kids. You know, you watch this. I mean, it's like Scooby-Doo. We watched it now or earlier. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Scooby-Doo. God loves Scooby-Doo, and always was the same. Spooky stuff happening the whole time, and weird stuff. And you're a little kid, you're like, I'm scared. And then you get to the end, you go, oh, I'm not scared, because at the end, everyone learns there's no such thing as ghosts. That was kind of the theme behind Scooby-Doo. Now, and I know today, no matter what I said, there's nothing I could do to tell you that there's no such thing as a spirit realm. I don't know, it doesn't matter what rational arguments, what, even if there was scientific data, there's nothing I could do to tell you there's no such thing as ghosts, there's no such thing as spirit realm, because some of you have experienced something. You just have. And it doesn't matter what somebody says, you can't be talked out of something that you've experienced. You just can't. Some of you have been like that. You've had some experiences that defy explanation, or perhaps you know somebody that you know isn't a fruitcake, they're not a whack job, they're a very grounded person, and they had an experience, and when they tell you, you just believe it. You think, wow, I'm not going to call you a liar because you've never really lied to me before. Or some of us, we've read this book, this Bible, and it's not really a scientific journal. There's some science in there, I guess. It's not a mathematical formula. It's a story of God interacting with people. And if you ever read this book, you know that there are case after case of the supernatural that happens in here. And you really can't have a relationship with God, at least a God that's not talked to about in this Bible, without understanding there's things that happen in the spirit realm that I can't fully understand or even describe right now. And today, I'm going to tell you it's going to happen today. I'm not going to be able to describe fully for you today, fully explain, give you kind of a bulletproof rationale today. Maybe some answers will come to you today or over the next few weeks, but I just recognize I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm going to do the best I can. But what we're going to do is talk about things that you might have sensed or that you want to sense, because really, aren't all of us here today because we're wondering or hoping or believing that there is a God who's above us and beyond us and has power that transcend what we have? I mean, that's why we're here today. I would think you have other things you could do on a miserable spring day than be here. So let's pray and see if God helps us today. God, I do pray that some of us have already sensed you, and that music earlier, or others of us are up for sensing you, or we're wondering if you're there. And if my words can help at all, I hope that happens. And I pray that these words would actually be a reflection of your words in your heart. So use our time and touch us in some way, I ask. Amen. We're calling this series Ghost because we're talking about not spirits in general. We're talking about what's been historically called the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, up until about 1940, 1950, people referred to the third part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as God the Holy Ghost. And right there you're going, Holy Trinity, how is that? God's one, three, I don't know. Can't explain it right now. One of the things that we can't go into all these ins and outs, but this third part of who God is, this Holy Ghost, until 1940, 1950, till more popular translations started coming out, he was referred to as the Holy Ghost, whereas today we call him the Holy Spirit. And either one can be translated that way. It's fine. The word pneuma in the Bible can be translated ghost. It can be translated spirit. It can be translated wind even. But I like ghost for this series because when we think of ghost, we think of a personal identity. A person versus sort of this spiritual aura. That's kind of what pop American spirituality is. This spiritual aura. Force be with you. This kind of vague spirituality thing versus a person, a spirit, the Holy Spirit that can come upon you, inhabit you, empower you, incredible things. And Jesus talked about this before he actually left planet Earth. John chapter 14. This is his last spiel. He's talking with his friends before he actually gets crucified. He says this. He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. We've got interesting here, this Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God's, Jesus is talking about the Father, the Son, Jesus. And he's talking about when he goes, when I go, I'm going to send you somebody. Somebody who's going to be sent is the Counselor. We see these threefold people around different points in the Bible. In the very first book of the Bible, book of Genesis, God creates the earth, it says. And the word that's spoken is Jesus. And the Spirit is said to hover over the waters. Like we got this water here. And Jesus says, this ghost, this Counselor, is a person. It's the first thing I want to drill into us today. The ghost, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a person. It is a person. Not a forced, not an entity, not a movement, not a sensation, not a principle, not an ideology. A person. When it says there, I'm going to send you the Counselor, it goes on and says, he will be, he will be, he will. What does that mean? Why he? That's a weird thing. Because, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't have genitals. So what does it mean that means he? Well, I don't even fully understand all that's involved with why the Holy Spirit is called a he. All I know is he's called that consistently. He's not called an it, which is something that's impersonal. When we use the personal pronoun of he or she, it's something that's personal. It's noble. Maybe also it doesn't flip back and forth from he to she because the Holy Spirit doesn't change who he is. You know, when you don't know somebody or some general force you don't know, how do you refer to it? You refer to it as it or like they? Well, you know what they say. Well, who's they? The powers that may be, whoever they are, they. We don't know who this is. We don't know who these persons, this entity is, so it's they. But when you say, oh, I know her, I know him, it's an identifiable person that I can know and have a relationship with. And Jesus says, I'm going to send you a Counselor. I'm not going to send you a philosophy. I'm not going to send you an ideology of spirituality. I'm going to send you a Counselor. What is a Counselor? A Counselor is a person that knows you and gives you unique insight for you. Mist doesn't interact with us. A Counselor does. Also, a Counselor stays with us. Jesus says, he will stay with you. Spirituality is a mist. It's or like an odor, it goes away. Some of your odors I wish would go away very quickly. But, you know, spirituality is an odor or an aura. It dissipates. It goes away. God doesn't go away. Spirituality can be this inanimate philosophy, and we can always debate about it. Well, what do you think? Well, I think spirituality. Oh, well, that's what your opinion is. My interpretation is this. You know, we always have this, you just debate this thing that you can't really see. It's inanimate. But a person, you know that person. It's a he. And then Jesus goes on in the same exact discourse, and he gets back to talking about this Spirit. And he says, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. People are thinking, hold, Jesus, it's not to our benefit you go away. You're the greatest motivational speaker we've ever been around. You do incredibly powerful things. Jesus, no. See, right now, I'm around you. When I'm around you, you get some benefits, but I'm not always around you. I'm not always with you, and I can't be all plays at the same time because I'm sort of in body right now. But when I go, there's going to be this new thing that's happened. This Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and it's to your benefit, because now he will always be with you, always counseling you, doing things in you that you can't do. I saw that this morning. I'll give you some examples today. I'll do it over the next few weeks. Once you start to understand who the Spirit is, you will notice his work, his counsel work, like you haven't before. Once you know it, oh, I didn't know that person. So today, give you an example just today. I was walking in this morning about 8:15. I'm coming in from my long walk away because we all know the further away you walk, the more the Holy Spirit likes you. Yeah, that's true. You know, park far away. That's, you know, God loves those who park far away. So I'm away and I'm walking in. There's this guy walking in and I haven't seen this guy all that much recently. And I saw him and I said, hey, man, how you doing? I noticed he was tan. I said, you look good. You're looking really good. Not just his tan did he look good, but he looked good, like his countenance. he just looked really good. And I said, man, you look great. What's going on? You feel good? And maybe I thought he looked extra good because the last time I spent significant time with him was about 2 years ago in his living room trying to console and counsel he and his wife as they lost their daughter to a car accident the night before. I've seen him in passing. He serves around here like a maniac. Great, awesome guy. But I hadn't really had a conversation, a chance even to have just a minute interaction with him. So as we're walking in, I'm saying, hey, man, you're looking good. How are you doing? He said, yeah, I do feel good. I didn't even think about the daughter thing because I just see him enough. That's not the way I think of him first and foremost. He said, yeah, he's really been healing me. I can't remember if he said been healing or healed. I want to say he's healed. I want to say that he said he's healed me. But he probably didn't say that because I don't know if you ever get fully healed from losing your kid. I mean, you're just not supposed to outlive your kid. You know, you're just not. But he said, yeah, he's really been healing me and I feel great and he looks great. And I walked away saying, that is what the Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes in and gives that kind of counsel, that kind of healing, that kind of power that nothing else could do. Nothing other. There was something that was happening in his life. This is the kind of things the Spirit does. Because the Spirit's a person, and the ghost gives power. The ghost gives power. Gives you abilities that you didn't think you had. Gives you insights you didn't think you would have had. Gives you feelings that you thought you'd never have. I shared a couple weeks ago at our Kingdom group how we went to a woman's house and her husband died and we were just helping her with her house and really gotten away from her and we'll call her Lisa. And, although her real name is Jill. And we were at her. I'm sorry. Just a cheap laugh. Very heavy topic matter today. Trying to get us laughing anytime we can, you know. And I mentioned that I saw her and I said, hey, thanks so much for letting us serve you today. It's really an honor. Thank you. And I said that because I thought that if someone did that to me, I would feel very uncomfortable because I like to earn things. When someone just gives me something, I feel weird about it. I don't like it. I shouldn't feel that way, but I do. I like to earn things. So I just put myself in her shoes and realized that I would want someone to say that to me to make me feel a little better. Now, as I told that story, anybody who knows me really well, especially if you knew me well 25 years ago or 20 years ago, you would have gone, Brian Tome did what? You said what? Wait, Brian Tome considered somebody else's feelings? Hold on, Brian Tome empathized, put himself in somebody else's emotional world, and then said something to them. What? Brian Tome doesn't do that. That's right, Brian Tome doesn't do that. They would say Brian Tome is driven, he's purposeful, he has high, you know, resiliency. That's what. But Brian Tome does this out of nowhere, just all of a sudden have a sense of empathy for somebody. I'm growing in that. Any level I have that of growth is through what God's doing in me. But I think that moment right there was the counselor counseling me on an idea that I use that power to be a blessing to somebody. Some other examples. Yesterday, we had a birthday in our house. My daughter's 16th birthday. Lena's 16th birthday. And some of you laughing. Yeah, it's like, oh! You know, we need all the counsel we can get on that one. You know, you're just... And 16-year-old birthday party thing, it's like a big deal. If you don't have 16-year-olds, be thankful you don't. Especially in today's culture. It's becoming a bigger and bigger, especially depending on who the friends they run with are. It's just a big deal. And people are like doing these crazy, insane things like limos and renting Justin Timberlake to come over and do it all. People just do these crazy, crazy stuff. And so we want Lena to feel like she's special, but we've got some limits and boundaries, and so we're going, how do we do this? How do we really honor her, have a good time, but not go to some of these ways that some people do? And God, good for you if you can do that, but this is not our gig. So we're sitting down and we're putting this off because we're not trying to figure out what we're going to be able to do. And then about 6 days or so ago, we are on the back deck and Libby and I are going, okay, we got to figure this out now. We can't put this off. It's coming up in 6 days. And so all of a sudden, like in real quick time, like 15 minutes or so, this stuff emerges. We think, hey, we have some friends that have a Cadillac Escalade. Why don't we ask them if we can borrow it? get Lee and some of her friends. This thing's like a pimped out rod kind of thing. And we'll put her friends in there. It'll be a cool deal. And when we're thinking, all of a sudden, I think of this sweet car. I think of CD player. All of a sudden, think, okay, ambiance, CD. All of a sudden, the idea comes as, hey, let's take one of Stephen's songs he wrote and record, and let's rewrite the lyrics to it. And let's go ask him if he'll just re-sing the song track and plug it into the music. And we'll have a song for Lena. We're like, oh, by the way, don't ask Stephen to do that, okay? Please do not ask him. Like 8,000 people go, oh, that's a good idea. Stephen has limits. And I said, hey, no, man, this is not a job thing, not because I'm a manager, just friend. You have time to do this? Would you like to do this? And he said, yeah, absolutely, I'll do it. So last night, come home after service, we get the girls in the Escalade, we put this CD in, we hit the play deal, and it's like 40 seconds in, and Leah's like in the back seat, she's like crying, she's stop it, she's like, I need to find the Kleenex or something, and mascara is running. It was like one of the most beautiful things, and it came together in 15 minutes on a shoestring. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, we could talk about some mystical things some televangelist does that he might be lying about anyway. We could talk about those things all day long. But when I look at it, I go, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Thinking of that idea, where did that creativity come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. A couple years ago, there's a guy who's here who is a spiritual grandfather to me. He impacted people, who impacted my life even before I met him. When I came to Cincinnati and I met him, his name is Gil Hopkins. He goes around here in that cheesy, stupid little yellow go-kart thing. Have you ever seen him kind of going around? Gil's getting older. His body's breaking down. He's had like knee replacements, hip replacements, and he keeps shrinking too. Gravity's kind of compressing him down. And, you know, he used to be bigger than me. Now he's smaller than me, especially when he sits in a scooter. So dear friend of mine, and he just started having real health problems about 2 years ago, and was in the hospital, significant health problems, and people started wondering, maybe this is it, deathbed. Maybe this is it. And went in with Jake, my son, and put hands on him, praying for him, and a bunch of other people did too. I don't know how the prayers impacted, if they did, whose prayers, all I know is it was significant. And I went in, and something just came over me when I went in with him. Because, you know, something sometimes does come over me when I come up here on stage. Sometimes when I'm getting ready before I come up, not all the time, but sometimes I sense something that I know is not me. Sometimes I'll have tears that come to my eyes. I'll just sort of well up because I sense there's something special that's going to happen. Not all the time, but sometimes. And I go, I think in that moment, I'm sensing the ghost right now. People see that sometimes, but in these situations, no one ever sees that. Once someone, the ghost is the most powerful. When it's on stage, no one knows. But now you'll know, 2 years later. So I went in, and it just came out. His wife, Joanne, was concerned that he was giving up because, you know, I think you get to a place in life where you go, the pain isn't worth it, and just want to give up. And he had every reason to give up. And I didn't think of the speech. Just came out. I said, hey, Gil, I need you to fight. I need you to fight. Cry every time I talk about it. I need you to fight. You're a mighty man. I need you. We need you around here right now. You cannot go. I need you to fight for me. For us. And Joanne, and he, that started his recovery. I don't know if it was the prayers. I don't know. Maybe medicine just did its job. Maybe it was that talk. Joan would say that was a defining moment for him where he turned and said, okay, I'm going to fight. And today he's as decrepit as he's ever been. Today, as you see him kind of going around, wonderful. No, he is. He's in awesome, awesome health. He's great. Sometimes it's that, the power of the Spirit. Sometimes it's you go next door and you're just sensing, man, I need to just cook my neighbor dinner. I mean, these are the things that the Spirit counsels you on, and there is significant power that comes up. And we're doing this series because we want that for you. And you should want that for you, to have a personal power source that counsels and heals and empowers. That is reality. I'm telling you, that is the way it works. When you start seeing that, noticing it, there's all kinds of things in the Bible that just start coming alive and popping off the sheet. Here's one, the book of Mark. This scene is repeated four times. It's four times in every gospel That's the authorized biographies of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This scene is there, so it tells me something. Here's what it says. This is right before Jesus starts doing really powerful, miraculous things. It says this. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Here we see the affirming God the Father. Hey, you're my Son. I love you. I'm well pleased. We see Jesus there, God the Father, God the Son. And we see the Spirit descending, it says, like a dove. So we don't know if it looks exactly like a dove. We don't know if it's flying like a dove. We don't really know exactly what that means. It says that every time, like a dove. But what this does mean is a understandable person descends. A person descends. The Holy Spirit is a person. Not this just like general mist that's everywhere, though he is everywhere. But there is a person, a power that can come and rest on you and in you. If you come to this place, as Jesus said earlier, if you receive me. You receive me. You receive the Spirit that is going to come. We've got up here two birds. And they're both doing the exact same thing. They've done every service, and it's because they're acting according to their nature. These are two different birds. One is a dove, and one is a pigeon. And each of these birds has different and distinct personalities. See, you as a person, you have a personality. You just do. Maybe your personality is by Myers-Briggs ENTJ or INFP or something like that. You as a person have a personality. I have likes, I have dislikes, and you can't talk me out of it. I like Grater's mint chocolate chip. I hate double chocolate chip. I just don't like that. And, you know, you can try to talk me out of it if you want. I am a person who has a personality, have likes and dislikes. It's just the way I am. And so when you understand that the Holy Spirit is a person, and you understand that he has a personality, he has things about them. And part of the problem with all the spiritual talk in our society, it's kind of good because we're talking more about spirituality, so therefore we're getting maybe closer to God. But part of the problem is it's like, okay, well, you have your opinions and I have my opinions. That's what God is to you. That's what the Spirit is. God said, oh, I'm a person. I have a personality. You cannot make me like the things you want me to like. You cannot make me dislike the things that you want me to dislike if I happen to like those. These birds have distinct, unique personalities. The pigeon is the one that's walking around. He's the least frayed by any cacophony of sound. We're trying to figure out how we're going to get birds, and we found some doves we could buy. We couldn't find any pigeons we could buy. So we figured maybe we'll go steal one. We'll just go downtown, just steal one of those things. Who likes those pigeons, right? We'll just steal one. No one will miss one. What's Cincinnati do? We get falcons to go eat them and stuff. So what's one more pigeon that's stolen? We decided not to do that. And so we found this guy up in Dayton who has birds. He actually had a dove and had the pigeon. And he said, well, I'll bring them down and you can use them. You can give me a rental fee. And then at the end of the service, what we're going to do at the end of this service, someone's going to go out back someplace and we're going to open up this door, that door over there, and the pigeon is going to take off and go back home to Dayton. The dove is going to just fly away. He says, okay, that's fine. Doves are cheap, but that's the way it works. See, pigeons, their personality is that they are very trainable. You can train a pigeon. I don't understand it. I don't know how they get back to Dayton, but it will get back to Dayton. Pigeons are also very resilient. They're downtown. They're pooping all over the place. They're coming up to you wanting to eat your sandwich. It doesn't matter if there's construction going around. It doesn't matter how loud you. They're around. They're very resilient. They're very like, they don't care about anything. They're doing their own deal. They're pooping wherever they want to do. They're just pigeons. They are who, that's their personality. Doves. For many of you, it's the first dove you've ever seen in your life. Or you've been to a magic show, in which case they cut the wings on those doves. Very few of us ever will see a dove because doves are very flighty. Doves are very sensitive. Doves have very tender personalities. Totally different. This guy said, hey, He dropped off yesterday. He said, don't be deceived by this bird hunkering down right now. This bird is not calm. He said, this bird right now is really freaked out by all the surroundings. And do whatever you do, do not open that door. Because as soon as you open that door, that bird will be gone. Don't be deceived. See, when there's noises, the dove withdraws. Because that's his personality. Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. And then here's another interesting personality test of who the dove is, who Jesus is, who the Spirit is. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, it says this. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I used to have some real religious people tell me that unwholesome talk was anything that was like worldly, like sports. No, that's not what this is. Unwholesome talk is something that tears somebody down in this context. And listen to this, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Notice something here. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is a person that can get bummed out. He gets grieved. He gets distressed. He's like a dove, and he can flee. He can flee. Now, we talk a lot around here about the evils of religion, how we don't want to have any part of religion. Religion is defined as, I have to do this, and then God is going to do that. Or if I don't do this, then God won't have this kind of constant transaction thing with God. Or if I sing these right, like organy songs, then God's going to be happier. If I don't do that kind of stuff of religion, that is not of God. And we say, no, that's not the way it is. God loves you, and God will do nice things for you no matter who you are, no matter what you are. That's God. And there's some things that happen to you that are bad because we live in a world. So we talk about the will of the world where things go bad. But so this idea of religion, quid pro quo, you know, you do this, I do that, that's a thing that really doesn't have any part of God's economy. But on the other end of the spectrum, we also know that God has certain power, and he is a sensitive being. The Holy Spirit is a sensitive being. And based on how you live your life, you will receive more power or lose what power you may have. It doesn't mean that God isn't in you, God isn't upon you. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that the Holy Spirit just kind of hunkers down, or he just kind of flees a situation. And don't even ask me to describe all the ins and outs of how this happens. We had a whole series to look at this. All I'm saying is this. When there are certain things in your life that are against the personality of God, the power, the person of the Holy Spirit flees. He doesn't like to be around unwholesome talk where people are getting abused. He doesn't like to be around when there's anger. Doesn't like to be around when there's malice. Those things, they're like fingernails on a chalkboard. And the Holy Spirit is a tender being. And he just goes, ooh. He's not a pigeon. He's a very tender being. And likewise, there are things that you can do, attitudes you can have that encourage the Holy Spirit. They encourage him to be around you. They encourage him to be manifest with more power in your life. Things like forgiving people. Things like, you know, saying nice things, serving people. These things encourage. Here's the deal. And I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm just telling you this is one of the reasons why you're not sensing God. Because your life is a loud, clanging cymbal. Your life is like fingernails on a chalkboard to him. And I'm not saying that to judge you and say, so I'm saying, for you to get the power and to understand this and to sense this, you got to realize the Spirit is not this R that's around you and you can just make him do what you want to do. He is a person that is grieved and encouraged based on the place in which he is residing, the temple. This is a temple. If you happen to possess the Spirit, the Bible calls this the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit resides in there. I don't know about you, but I have people who intentionally work evil against me. I have people who say lies about me. I know I do that. And when that happens, you know what I want to do? I want to pray for that person and love those people. You know why? Well, one, because Jesus tells me to. He says, love those who persecute you, pray for your enemies. also because I know when I do that, I'm encouraging the power of the Holy Spirit in me. Because when I'm angry and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get them. When I'm like this, the Holy Spirit's like, ah. And I lose the sense of His presence. I lose the sense of His smile. And I can't explain all this to you. And if you're going, oh yeah, what about if you got that kind of attitude? I'm telling you, He's already fleed from you. I'm not going to be able to depend on you. I'm just telling you, that's the way it works. And I sense this, His power well up in me when I do these countercultural things that is with His personality. Like praying for people who don't like me. Like being generous and starting saying, hey, 10% of my income as a starting point, it goes outside me, it's generous. And I do that and I feel God happy. And when I'm not doing that kind of stuff, I'm like, me. The Holy Spirit's like, There's a provisional nature to the power of the Holy Spirit that I want to encourage. And don't you feel this way? Don't you feel when someone encourages you and lives a life that is encouraging, you want more of that person, want to be around that person? Maybe in that way we're feeling the way God feels. He'll never leave us. He's not like abandoning us as orphans. Jesus also says that too. But there's something about His presence, His power, His personality, the sensing of Him, the being able to do things or think things that you wouldn't have done or thought otherwise, that is directly linked with whether or not you are grieving the Spirit or encouraging the Spirit. There's a little thing I ran across, pretty interesting. This guy by the name of Vigen Gorian, he's a literary professor at Loyola College. And he was having a book club discussion with his college students about Pinocchio. Most of us are like, Pinocchio? Like Walt Disney? Well, Disney made it out of a literary work. It was actually a good literary work before Disney came and did their Pinocchio deal. And he got really frustrated because all these students kept trying to find hidden meanings and underlying things and this and that. And kept trying to, they weren't getting the whole point of the story because they were making it way more complicated than it needed to be. And so he decided to bring in his daughter's fourth grade class. So he brought these fourth graders into his class just to help these people understand how to interpret something. And these college students were stunned when these fourth graders, they saw the meaning immediately because they didn't try to complicate it. They saw it. They got the meaning. And he goes on in his book entitled How Tending the Heart of Virtue, How Classic Stories Awaken a Child's Imagination. He says this. He says, the fourth graders were better at grasping the nature and source of Pinocchio's temptations and backsliding, and they were less ready to excuse him for the behavior that got him into so much trouble and caused his father so much grief. They just, God said, that's the way it is. Let me tell you something. God is not as complicated as you make him out to be. In fact, every person you have a great relationship with is pretty simple. Isn't that true? The people who are just hard, they're way too complicated, right? But the people who you understand and you know their personality, you know the person, you know the way they are. They're very straightforward. They're very simple. Do this for me. Don't do that. You know, this relationship, that's the way the Holy Spirit is. Holy Spirit is like, I'm not going to try to do some weird things and make you figure me out. Oh, the deeper meaning. No, the Holy Spirit is like this. Hey, no, man, just love people. No, just forgive people when they abuse you. No, just serve people. Hey, just be generous. Hey, this is the way the Spirit is and works. And the more we complicate God, the less of the power we get from the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, friends, it really is this simple. There's powerful things that happen around here that I know are not from complicated management. Go to Cincinnati. Think about this last year. Whoever did Go Cincinnati, we had about 2,000 people who went out. The real power source behind that was what the Spirit did in a woman who's a volunteer by the name of Joan Kahn. I call her Joan of Go. Joan of Go. She just organized with volunteers all these different construction sites, and people went out. And those of us who are here, do you remember we gathered in this room before we left? Do you remember what it was like in this room? It was like a locker room before you go out in the Super Bowl. There was a presence that was in here. There was a sense that was in the room. That was the ghost who was applauding and loving what we were about to go do. And then when we left that event at the end of the day, we went back home. And you might have felt this whenever you did something that the Holy Spirit approved of. You just felt good. Let me tell you why you felt good. You felt good because the Spirit was flapping His wings and giving you heat saying, great job, great job, great job. You felt that when you went because you were encouraging the Spirit. And there was a sense of power about you, wasn't there? Don't you remember that? Have you ever had that sense of power? And it didn't matter if you found out bad news or what happened. You were ready to run through a wall because the Spirit was encouraged and there was something that transcended your own abilities. I don't understand everything about the Spirit, but when I see Him, I know Him. When I sense Him, I know Him. And I want more of Him. I want to know more of His power and have more of His power. I was thinking about Him coming up today, and I felt God say something to me. And I rarely say God said something to me. Let me tell you why I rarely say it. First is, I've never heard God audibly. Some of you may have. If you have, way to go. I hope I can be like you someday. I would love to hear, honestly, I mean that. I would love to hear like a voice. So I've never heard a voice. But I have heard God speak, because what God does is He knows you as a person, and He will use a unique dialect for you. And the more you heed Him and listen, the more He'll speak. I also don't like to say very often God spoke to me, because I've had people use that as a spiritual power play for me. I'll say, well, you know what? God's told me. And they'll say something. I'm like, well, you know, I don't think God told you that. Because God told me, you know, I have to do that power play thing. Because sometimes people use that as power plays. So all that background to say, I sensed that the Spirit wanted me to say this today. Last week, I said sometimes God speaks with us, and sometimes it's not God. Sometimes it's the pizza that we ate. Remember that I said that? And what I meant to illustrate there is sometimes we think God's talking, but He's not. That's true. But at the same time, I sense what we're going to do right now. The Spirit would be grieved if I gave you an out like pizza. Because some of us are sensing something right now, or you're going to be sensing something. And the Spirit does not want to be referred to as pizza. He wants you to err on the side that thought, that feeling, that sensation, that belief is the very Spirit of God that's saying something to you. It's Romans. This is like one of the most mysterious passages. I don't understand it, but it's really cool. That's what we're going to do with the rest of our time here. Romans 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit, capital S, you always capitalize people's names. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. That little baby's been groaning over here. We have Kids Club. You might want to try Kids Club. But I want to tell you, you reminded me of something. Yes, there it is again. You reminded me of something. I had a nurse. After the first service came down and told me something I didn't know before about groans and babies. Said that if we have a little bit, it does little groans. We love little kids. God loves little kids. Just use that as a reminder of what the Spirit does. Okay, that's why I called that out. This is God could be using that little baby to remind me of this and tell you this. She said, you know, little babies don't naturally groan. They cry. They don't naturally groan. She said, unless they're a premature baby. So they've done studies of premature babies. They have this grunt groan thing that they do. You know, you ever been in martial arts and you're learned to like, you know, kind of coordinates you. Or if you lift weights, you know, it's like you're grunting and you got your iPod on. You can't hear yourself grunting, but you know, you sound awful, you know. There's this natural like grunt or groan that kind of pulls you together. And she's standing there wondering if maybe for little babies, this grunt and this groan when they're in really poor health is helping them. It's interesting to me that this says that the Spirit grunts and groans for us. You know what this says? This says if you possess the Spirit, if you receive Jesus, if you possess the Spirit, you have a prayer partner that is always with you and in you. You can never escape God and go away from Him and think you can have your own private little thing. He goes everywhere you go. He's with you everywhere you go. And that really bums you out if you want to have little private areas of sin. That really bums you out. But if you want power, if you want God, it should thrill you to no extent to realize that God has planted inside of me a personal prayer partner who prays for me. It says He groans. Sometimes when I feel something, I don't understand it. I just go, You ever do that? Like sometimes if it's something that's really awesome, you're like, where does that come from? Or sometimes if something's really depressing, like, That groan says that's kind of what the Spirit is doing. Who knows? Maybe even we have these grunts and groans because the Spirit is doing something in us. Maybe there's this. I don't know it. I'm not ready to say this is what it is. I'm just saying there can be a personal prayer partner that intercedes for you and cheers you on and goes to God for you, who is God Himself, who is inside of you. Boy, isn't that unbelievable? Yeah, God. God, the more I talk on this stuff, the more blown away I am and the more I realize I don't know. But I am increasingly coming to know that there's things I don't fully understand, yet I'm comfortable with it and I'm wanting it. I want to know you more. I want you to go back 6 days ago, Monday. Don't go back Easter Sunday if you were here. Everyone hopefully felt good in Easter. That's what Easter's for, I think. But let's go to the real world, Monday. I want you to go through the last 6 days of your life. And I want you to pay attention if you have any just sort of involuntary groan that happens as you relive the last 6 days of your life. It could be a, or it could be a, Spirit, I'm asking that... for those who want to receive you, receive your Son, receive Jesus, receive the Spirit, that they would do that. And I'm asking as we consider the last 6 days, what you would bring to our minds right now, things, as in examples, things that grieved you and things that encouraged you. Spirit, counsel us right now. Sometimes you just have to say to a person, you really do matter, and I want to encourage you. Just say that to God if that's what you feel. Just say that to Him. And you can also say to Him, God, I want more of You. I want more of your wisdom, more of Your power. I want to sense more of Your love and affirmation. I want more of You. Just, you know, someone comes to me and tells me that, that's an honoring thing. God be honored. Just say that to Him. God, we're asking you rain down on us now, this whole series, not just people in here, but people who are connected with our community and actually people in this entire city and world. We're asking you just rain down Your love, right down your Holy Spirit. You know, I couldn't help but sense too, earlier, this crowd really dug that Rain Down song more than any other crowd did. And I sense that the Spirit would be pleased if we did that song again. That's what I sensed. And maybe that you just want to say it to God. God, rain down your love on me. I want more of you.